Welcome to the Triple D Podcast, Donuts, Disability, and Discourse, where host Michael Leiner talks to the best in the business about community, impact, business, and donuts. Here's your host, Michael Leiner.
Welcome to another edition of the Triple D Podcast. This is kind of a special edition. I've got an incredible guest this week, Julie Leggett, who is the president is the title of the National MS Society's, it's not called the Buckeye Foundation, is it? We just called the Ohio chapter?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your role and what you do.
So as the president for the MS Society in the Ohio market, I am the person who comes out and gets to just share what we do, how we help people with MS, and then also invite you to all of the wonderful events that we hold to be able to come out, help us, you know, create funding for some of the great things that we do in the community, not just those for those living with MS, but our research, and just really join our movement. So I'm kind of that person.
So March is, as I understand it, it's MS Awareness Month, although there's a specific week in March where it's really going to be celebrated. Tell us a little bit about that. What are like the efforts that that you're doing to try and spread awareness about multiple sclerosis?
So the MS Society celebrates MS Awareness Week, the week of the 8th of March. And during that time, all across the country, every chapter, everyone that's part of the movement are out just being in the community and telling people what MS is, how the MS Society can help, and how you as someone in the community, even if you don't live with MS, can join our movement and help those that do live with MS.
I love this conversation just because I've shot a lot of, over the years, videos trying to raise awareness about MS and talking about how it fits into what I do, which is helping people get Social mm-hmm. Security disability benefits. But let me ask you this. In your work with the MS Society, what are like the biggest misconceptions that people have about multiple sclerosis?
So I would think one of the biggest misconceptions is they think that you can see people and know that they live with MS. People can live with MS for many, many years, sometimes decades, and you would never know that they were affected by MS. But MS creates extreme fatigue. And you can imagine, you know, we've all had an evening where we stayed up too late, we watched a ball game, we had to get up in the morning, and you're just kind of dragging yourself around. That people with MS experience that often, and not because they stayed up too late watching a ball game. So it's something that you can't always see, but it's very real for the person that's going through it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's on this same topic. I mean, one person's MS is not going to be the next person's MS. There's multiple different forms, is that the right way of saying it, of MS? And then there's also just so many different ways that people experience it, so many symptoms that they have. I'm aware of, you know, relapsing, remitting, and the different types, but I want to keep going down the route that you're talking about, which is where there, you know, you might not always see it. When it comes to how the society tries to address the needs of people who have these symptoms across such a great spectrum, how do you go about doing that?
So the programs that we provide will focus on the different issues or scenarios that people that we're connecting with say they really are struggling, or they really would like more information. As you said, it's very individual. Everybody's MS journey is not the same. And with those specific programs, whether it's sleep habits or wellness, because we found that, you know, wellness is a really important avenue for someone living with MS to help them live their best lives. So we'll have targeted programs that people can connect with, you know, attend. We even do virtual programs that really just address specifics around MS for those that are experiencing it. But we also have a navigator program, and our navigator program is a phone call or a text or a chat, and you can be connected to someone that can really help you navigate everything that's MS. because we get so many times people actually need an attorney because they are unable to work because of their symptoms. And, you know, that can be extremely stressful and extremely difficult to navigate. So during, you know, at this phone call, you know, those questions are asked, what do you need help with? And they're there to help.
How does somebody access a navigator?
It's just by calling the navigator hotline.
Okay. And there's no cost associated with it. They're just there to help?
Nope. We're just there to help.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about the program is we also do case management through Navigator. And if you are somebody who needs something more long-term than just some references to, you know, one of the resources that you need, you will be connected with a case manager and you will continue to talk to that same person every time you call in. I've always made the comment to everybody. I know from my experience, calling the cable company and telling your story 17 times before you ever get an answer becomes really frustrating. If you call a navigator, you don't have that. You will get the same person every time you call.
Is there care coordination between the navigator and, for example, your doctor or your therapist or social worker?
If it's within that that case management program, there can be. And like we said, everybody's MS is different, so everybody's situation is different too.
Right. And you know, because there's this big spectrum of needs that people have, do you ever get involved or do the navigators ever have to help people maybe find like more supportive care for their homes and things like that if they're unable to function independently?
Yes. Yes. That is definitely something. I know that we have helped numerous people get mobility chairs. We've helped with getting them a ramp because they needed it. What a navigator does is really connect someone to the resources that they need, whether it's in their community or through the MS Society itself.
Where does the funding for this come from?
So from the generous sponsors, donors, community members, everybody that comes out to support anything that we do.
Yeah. And so obviously, you know, in March, you mentioned that there's some fundraisers that are going to go on. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
So the things that we have planned around the state of Ohio in March does not include fundraisers, but we're always open to anyone that wants to donate. You can go to our website and just click donate. They're more of an awareness activities that we're doing in the month of March, just to have people be aware that we are, you know, we are here, we're here to help. These are the programs and services that we provide. But when it comes to our fundraising events in May, we have our MS Walk, and it'll be at the Wolstein Center downtown in Cleveland. And you can, you know, be a virtual walker. You can come out and walk as a single, or you can form a team and ask your friends and family to come also.
As sort of, you know, an organization that's intended for awareness and support, how did COVID change things? Did it help? Was it harmful? What were the effects on how you reach people?
So COVID changed everything, just like it did for everybody else. For the National MS Society, we actually were doing a lot of virtual connection. So when COVID did hit and we, you know, all of us packed up our things and thought we were going home for 2 weeks, we really felt like we could still support people that needed their support, needed the support from the society with the tools and resources we already had. And we found that, yes, we could still communicate with each other as staff, but then also with our navigator line, you know, we could still continue to do that support. But we found that people were asking for different resources than we had seen in the past. One of those that I think will always be something I remember is that there was a lady that lived with MS and she needed groceries. And it wasn't because she needed funding to get her groceries. She just couldn't get out to get them. And she had no family members to help her because there was someone that was coming in and doing that for her. And our navigators found themselves helping people place online grocery delivery orders to ensure that they had the food that they needed because they didn't have anybody available that could could support them in that. So that was something that we didn't expect, but something good that came out of a situation that none of us had any control over.
That's great. Now, I probably should have kicked off by asking a question like this, but tell us, what is multiple sclerosis? What is MS?
So MS is an autoimmune disease, and it affects your central nervous system. It's complicated. And as we said, it doesn't affect everybody the same. I like to explain it to people that have never heard of MS before, that it's like when you have an electrical cord and your electrical cord gets dried out and brittle and it starts to deteriorate. Then when you turn your light on, it doesn't always come on and stay on all the time. And that's very similar to what MS does to someone that is experiencing some of those symptoms. The myelin sheath on the nerves kind of act like that electrical cord.
Was there like a specific background that you had that led you to this role? I mean, did you work with MS patients in another setting, or tell us how you got to do this?
No, that was not my background. I have a background in nonprofit, but it wasn't on the medical side. And it was actually just a listing and everything that I learned about the society of how they help people, how they advocate for change, and how we will have a cure. It was definitely something I could be passionate about. But now since then, I didn't have an MS story when I came, but since then I have met the most resilient, amazing people that live with MS, and they're my story now.
Yeah. You said something that I can't gloss over. You said there will be a cure.
Yes.
Talk to me about that. I mean, does a lot of the money that's raised by the society go towards research to try to find a cure?
Yes, absolutely. So the MS Society is the largest private funder of MS research in the world.
Sure.
And we every year, every time we put out a budget, we will put a certain amount towards that research. Living in Ohio, we actually see a lot of where those research dollars are being used. Currently, we have research projects that are at the Cleveland Clinic and also at Case Western Reserve. And it's really amazing what is happening just all across the state, because we have projects not only, as I mentioned, in the Cleveland area. We also have some that are going on in Columbus at Ohio State, and then also one at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And that's all funded through the MS Society.
You've been with the MS Society now for 5 years, 6 years?
Almost seven years.
Wow.
Yes,
it's
almost seven.
I can't believe I've known you for that, because I remember I met you very quickly after you joined the society. Have you seen a lot of change in the care that's being given to MS patients in that time?
Not necessarily around the care, but around the breakthroughs that have happened. So in 2017, when I first came to the society, the very first drug therapy for primary progressive, which is the one that so many people be familiar with, the celebrities that we've seen come out and say that they have MS. So that was the very first ever treatment for primary progressive. And since then, we have add an additional 7 drug therapies to that. So we're going to be at 30 before we know it, I do believe. But that really has changed the lives of people that are affected by MS.
What are people being able to do now better or more than they were previously because of the changing?
So with the new drug therapies, people that may have not been able to drive, maybe because their eyesight was affected and it really made it challenging to drive, or that their mobility would be not steady enough to be able to, you know, go to the office every day or to, you know, take their kids somewhere or even take care of their kids. And with these new drug therapies, it has changed their lives. I have spoke with many people that they couldn't drive the car, and after this new therapy, they were able to get themselves around instead of calling an Uber, or able to take care of their kids because they had the mobility back that they had lost. So it really has changed the landscape for people that live with MS.
That's incredible.
Yes.
And you said that, so there's like 7 of these drugs now, but there's going to be 30 soon.
Yeah, we have more. It's around 27. That we have that some of them have been around for decades, but we've seen more progress in the future for MS, whether that's the cure or whether it's something that really will change the everyday lives of people with MS, more in the last 7 years than in the previous 70.
Wow.
Yes.
And what's incredible is you imagine that in the next, you know, going forward, 2 years will probably see more change than there was in the 70 before that.
We hope so. We truly believe this could be the last chapter for MS. We are one step closer to finding a cure every day.
Does awareness help get closer to a cure?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For people to know that MS is prevalent in our communities, if you look at the state of Ohio, we have around 36,000 people that we know of that are living with MS, but there's over 1 million people that live with it in the United States. And when you look at the numbers here in Ohio, a large portion of that live right here in Northeast Ohio. So it's people that you probably see at the grocery store or someone that, you know, you might interact at, you know, one of the functions that you go to and you just don't know it. So when you start talking to people there, you will find there are more people that live with MS than you would initially think.
Are there early warning signs that people, you know, should be on watch for, or are there triggers that people are known to have where they could be a sign of that they do have MS?
So everyone presents different. As right. I said, everybody's MS right. is different. I hear a lot of people say that they had trouble with their eyes, or they would have trouble with one of their limbs that didn't make sense of why that was happening. And I've been told by people who've lived with MS for 40 or 50 years that, you know, they had to go for, you know, 8-10 years before they'd be diagnosed. And now the technology has changed that to where people are being diagnosed earlier and faster because of the technology.
That's incredible. That's incredible. What can we do? What can anybody who's watching this do to get more involved to help you guys get one step closer to a cure?
Well, to join the movement, it's really simple. You can go to our website, nationalmssociety.org, and it has all the ways you can get involved. You can find the Ohio involvement. You can find the national involvement. And it can be as simple as you say, yeah, I'd like to be a monthly donor. Or you can, as I said, you can get a team and you can help us do fundraising through our walks. We also have what's called Bike MS. And this year we actually ride from Cleveland, from Baldwin-Wallace College to right outside of Cedar Point. And it's called Pedal to the Point. If people that have been around the community for a long time, they might recognize Pedal to the Point because it was the signature ride for the state of Ohio for many, many years. The route was changed. The name was changed. But this year, we're just going to go back to the future. And Pedal to the Point is back on everybody's schedule, I hope.
And it's the same route from Baldwin-Wallace all the way to Cedar Point.
It's pretty similar, yes. It's the same. It's in the same vicinity as it was back in the day, yeah. I guess is what they call it. But
the weather better be nice.
We always hope the weather is nice, not too hot and not rainy. But you don't have to be, if you're an experienced cyclist, you can ride 100 miles. But we also have shorter routes where you can ride 35, you can ride 50. So you don't have to be a 100-mile rider to actually participate and be part of Pedal to the Point.
That's incredible. Well, I'm so glad that you came to hang out with me and to share some of your story and your knowledge. This is, of course, the Triple D podcast. Yes. One of those D's stands for donuts. We have a couple delicious Boston cream donuts from our podcast sponsor, Jack Frost Donuts. Will you sample it with me and share what we think? I'll do a little donut cheers with you.
Donut cheers.
Here we go. Delicious.
Very good.
I love how they add it right into their famous glazed donut. It's like a little bonus on top to have the chocolate and custard. Well, thank you so much again for your time. And I look forward to partnering with you going forward in the future.
That sounds great.
Thanks for listening to the Triple D Podcast, Donuts, Disability, and Discourse. Rate, subscribe, and tune in next week for more discourse and donuts.